This podcast is sponsored by Supco TradeVox. Technician invented, technician proven.
Zach Desjardins here, also known as Quality HVACR on Instagram and YouTube. Now, I'm always rocking the HVAC tactical gear, and I now have my own Black on Black special edition hat. So make sure you head on over to the HVAC tactical store, pick up that Zach Desjardins special edition Black on Black.
What's happening, guys? This is HVAC Chronicler.
Hey guys, it's Ben from HVAC Strong.
This is Lance from Solderweld, and you are tuned in to the HVAC Tactical Podcast.
Make a decision to be the best.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Your work reflects you, so protect your reputation. Don't ever give up. HVAC Tactical. It's a mindset.
Welcome to the HVAC Tactical Podcast. I have a special guest with us in the house tonight, Jess Morell from Blue On. I'm sure some of you guys have heard this so-called mythical 800-pound gorilla in the closet, Blue On. But I thought it would be interesting to have Jess on and talk about her role at Blue On, what Blue On is, because a lot of people are still very unaware what and who Blue On is. And just kind of hear her story of how she got involved with Blue On, where Blue On came from, and where the journey's taken them. So welcome, Jess.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited to be on here. I am Jess Morell. I am the growth manager here at Blue On. I started at Blue On actually 3 years ago as an intern. So that was a really, really cool experience being able to kind of work my way up through the company and learn everything about each step and how the company works and the dynamics. And then interned again the next summer, got a little bit more specific with marketing. So I started doing a little bit more Instagram, emails, that type of stuff. And that was actually during peak COVID time. So going into my junior year of college. And at that point, I was really not looking forward to going back to online classes, the whole dealio there. So I got offered to come on full time to do marketing for the company, which was absolutely an incredible opportunity. So I took it up, stopped college, actually this past December, my senior year, and am doing Blue On full time and absolutely loving it. So that's how I got into it.
So did you drop out of school?
I did.
How dare you?
Right? It's not the traditional route, but I had a ton of support here with the team and my family, and I wouldn't have done it any other way. So I'm crazy grateful for the opportunity, and I've learned way more here than I would have at school. So,
and how old are you?
I'm 22.
You're young for sure. So how do your parents feel about you dropping out of school?
They're really supportive of it because they understood that, you know, I'm learning so much more here than I ever did in school. And firsthand experience is so incredibly important, right? Because when you get out of college, the first thing you're asked is, all right, what can you do?
Or what's your experience?
Do you have? Yeah. And if you say, all right, well, I have a degree in this, like, all right, and what can you do? So, my parents were really supportive of it from the beginning because they know how passionate I am about Blue On and growing up here, really, in the office. They were all on board.
So a lot of people don't really understand who Blue On really is, right? Like, let's kind of rewind back to where did Blue On start? When did Blue On enter the scene and what were they doing?
Yeah, great question. Super interesting story. So Blue On started around 2011. The first goal of the company was to create an R22 replacement because of the upcoming phase out in 2020. So the first goal was to create a new formula, ended up being TDX20, R458A. So between 2011 and 2015, it was really a R&D chemistry company. So the app wasn't even a thought yet, which is crazy. But so a ton of testing and labs, et cetera. Peter Capicciotti, our CEO, is the head of that, running it, and hit the market around 2017. But we hit a major roadblock. So in around 2017, we realized that techs are kind of the gateway to any change in the HVAC industry.
100%.
Because if the techs don't adopt your product or your goal, then it's not going to go anywhere. Because they're the ones going to their suppliers. They're the ones going to the homeowners. If the techs don't like it, then it's not going to work. So that was a big realization. And we also realized that all of the replacements up to that point were pretty bad. So the techs were pretty burned on our 22 replacement. So TDX 20, we thought was all, this is going to be so cool, it's going to be great. But to them, it was just another replacement that was going to break stuff and have them go back, call back, et cetera. So the thought with that is, okay, how do we get 320,000 technicians to adopt our product and really advocate for us? So that is where they decided, okay, let's build an app. But in the app, we're going to have instructions on how to retrofit TDX 20. So that was the original thought. And during that process, the manuals and specs, so a few of the data points were added into the app with the instructions. And the key point was that techs were using the app for the manuals and the specs, not the instructions.
That's so interesting. It's interesting how you stumble upon that, right? Like, you're like, hey, we should probably give these people instructions on how to put this stuff in. And, the instructions really aren't enough. They're actually looking for some information on the equipment. So, well, might as well just throw the install manual or the data manual in there, right? And then,
Totally. And
now you've just kind of like, you haven't really stopped, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's next? What happened after that?
Yeah. So after that, we realized that techs were using the app for other things, not TDX 20. So then that was around 2019. So from that moment on, we thought, okay, this is a massive opportunity right here where we can build a brand agnostic platform for techs, which had never been done before because techs have to go get manuals or call each individual OEM for information. So ran with the idea there and started adding more manuals, specs, et cetera, for a bunch of different units. And now we have over 300,000 in there, which is wild.
That's a lot of manuals.
So, yeah. And then we added on tech support, which is another thing we slapped on. And then just kind of kept going from there. So really the app was not an idea at all initially, just TDX 20, but then we realized this huge gap in the industry and that we have this opportunity to fill it.
Well, I like how you just kind of like sailed right over. Oh yeah. We kind of added tech support in there and then like, let's dial that back for a second. So the tech support is obviously a really big thing. And, you know, even my own technicians, right? They'll be like, yeah, I called tech support. Man, I was on hold forever. I was like, well, did you bother to call Blue On? And they're like, man, I keep forgetting that Blue On offers tech support, right? And so I think that there's not just that people are kind of not aware altogether, right? But it's just so out of the norm that this random third-party company who doesn't even manufacture equipment offers tech support on every major brand. And I think that it's really important for people to kind of let that sink in for a second and give them a chance, because from my experience, the tech support has been really, really good and it has a really good turnaround time, right? So your wait time on hold. So let's talk about kind of that stuff.
Yeah, totally. So tech support is a huge part of the app, like you said. We have over 30 guys, I believe, now on the other line.
That's more than OEMs have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, before tech support, obviously I'm not a tech, but I've just heard from our guys of how frustrating it is to be on hold for hours, have a call back 2 days later with a guy asking, oh, are you still at the unit?
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah, is this a joke? What? Yeah, so our team is super, super brilliant. They're all veterans in the field, so they've all been through it. And a lot of them have different specialties on different sizes, different tonnage, different problems, like specializing in electrical or anything like that. So our team's very good, ready to handle anything. We're over 300 calls a day right now.
Holy crap. Summer. That's a lot.
It's wild. It's a lot, but it's so cool too. I've gotten to listen to a few of the calls and just listening to the tech on the other end being so frustrated and confused at first. And our guys are trained on, we have different steps in the tech support call process. Number one being de-escalate the situation. So they're trained by our team to kind of help calm the tech down and be like, okay, guys, we're going to get through this together. We're going to figure it out. Don't worry. I'm right here with you next to unit. And then kind of take it from there. So they're super, super good at talking through it. And our guys, we don't have FaceTime on the app or anything like that. So they're so good at what they do that they can figure it out just by audio on the other end.
So how is Blue On finding guys for this tech support type position?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we have a lot of applicants, but also we kind of reach out to people in a specific way and tell them about what they're going to be doing. So it's a lot of guys that are kind of done with being on the roof physically and have been through the trade and are ready to continue to help the industry, but not necessarily continue to just trash their body on the roof every day.
Yeah, and there's so many.
Really,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I say there's just so many avenues in this trade, right? Like you can specialize in a lot of different things, and you can be in the industry and help the industry by helping the industry or the tradesmen of the industry, but you can also be in the industry and help the industry by helping the consumers of the industry. So two completely different things, right? Yeah. But they're still both feeding back to feed the industry. So
yeah, and I feel like Blue On touches every aspect of that with the techs and the suppliers and homeowners, everything like that. So it's really cool. Our team's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I had the opportunity to come down there and see you guys and was kind of blown away. Just the culture, the people, your workspaces, you know, you guys providing lunch and how you guys filter your team in, how you filter your team in on like shifts, right? Like everybody in the company, no matter where you work from in the country, you filter through the main office out of Irvine pretty much on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's every 8 weeks or so. So let me back up a little bit. We have around, I'd say over 150 employees at Blue On right now. With a good amount of us here at the office in Irvine, but the majority is actually remote. Like our tech support team, they can work wherever they live because it's just via phone. Same with our onboarding team, the people who take calls for people when they get on the app, you have to call in, as you know. Those individuals live elsewhere. And yeah, every 8 weeks or so, they come into the office. And the point behind there is that culture is so important to us. And it's such a good idea to have them in here and keep that culture going and foster that communication and keep them excited about the company and what they're doing and keep their brain on the bigger picture. So that's kind of the thought behind that process. But yeah, it's a blast. And we also do these host activities, they're called. So every week, two people to our stations in Irvine get to work together to come up with a fun activity for all the travelers to do together, whether that's archery or taking a boat out or a dinner together, just to keep everyone connected and pumped up about what we're doing.
Now,
it's pretty special.
Obviously, that idea doesn't come from, excuse me for just a second, got some stuff in my throat. Obviously, that idea doesn't come from a guy who's in tech support, right? I would imagine these ideas are cultured by your leadership.
Absolutely.
So I had the opportunity to meet, I think I briefly met, was it Peter?
Yeah, Peter, yeah.
But I, yourself and Matt were at Expo. That's where I met you guys. You guys were actually sponsors of the award show that we did in Vegas. And Matt was such a great guy. I mean, I don't really have anything bad to say about him at all. He's just, it was one of those things where it's like, man, his energy, his vibe, like he's just, there's something special about that guy. And he like makes this grand appearance into your life. And then he's like a ghost. Right. and then he's like,
true.
Jess and Maddie got you. Don't worry about it. You know, just like that. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, there's just such a, you know, and I bet he's figured this out, right? Like, Matt's, he seems young. I don't know how old he is, but he's, he probably can't be any older than I am. But he's young. He's good looking, clearly talented at what he does to get where he's at, successful in life, right? And he just, he's figured out he's got to keep this like mysterious vibe about himself.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So, yeah, I like him a lot. I'm sure we're going to see him in Atlanta. I'm sure he'll be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of his jam. That's his cup of tea for sure.
Yeah, so. He's our kind of, what's his title? Kind of our human navigator, I believe, where he makes all these amazing connections and he connects people to Blonde. And then people like myself and Maddie kind of foster those relationships.
Yeah, he's like the Uber. He just picks us up and drops us off at corporate and says,
pretty much.
Have at it.
Yeah.
No, but so clearly you have some amazing leadership on your team,
mm-hmm.
And they come from a wide variety of backgrounds, which I think is super important, right? But when I look at that kind of stuff, just from an entrepreneurial standpoint, right, and from a business standpoint, I look at what you guys are doing in the industry. I go, that's cool. I see your guys' facility. I start seeing how many people are there. I start kind of putting all the dots and pieces together, and I just start from a entrepreneurial side, I go, man, there's a lot of money moving around here, right? Like, there's a lot of people that you're paying to be here, tech support to be here. You guys are obviously flying your people in and out, right? I would imagine you're putting in hotels to stay in while they're at corporate.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, I look at all this stuff and I go, wow, that's a lot of expenses, right? So then the $1 million question, right, which is what I've been seeing on social media from your guys' marketing team as well, is, well, how does Blue On make money?
Yeah, it's a big question. And it's actually a pretty simple answer. So going back to creating the app, at first we had no idea how we were going to monetize it. We just took the opportunity and ran with it. And from there I think this was 2020 or so. There was a realization that we could get the suppliers on board with parts. So let me back up a little bit. Parts on the app are a recent feature where techs can go into the exact model they're working on, pull up the exact parts list, and request a quote for that part through our app. So that is basically how we're making money. So the app is still completely free for technicians. We get a cut from the supplier side. So how we're going to be generating income from here on out is actually taking a cut from the supplier side, because we're making their lives a lot easier with being able to fulfill orders much easier than before through our platform. So that's how we make money.
But prior to the app, Blue On was a really successful refrigerant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so obviously you guys did some good business there, right? stacking some capital. Yeah. But you also had some outside investors, and I don't want to drop any names, but there were some A-listers involved in some of that stuff, which is pretty awesome, right? But partly because you guys kind of land underneath that umbrella of like environmental impact, right? Like going the green way or whatever you guys want to call it, right? That's kind of like the new jam, or it's not really new. It's been around for a long time, but that's kind of the bandwagon to jump on, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Started with TDX 20, so that's where our income came from primarily, along with investors. And the product is still doing really, really well. We had 300% growth last year. And so right now our main goal is to be brand agnostic across the board. So to do that, we're looking for a partner to kind of give off that side of the business too. So we'll no longer be doing any refrigerant, no TDX 20. We're going to be strictly platform.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a pretty awesome acquisition for whoever can scoop that up.
Yeah, definitely a big pivot, but we're ready for it.
Well, I think you guys have definitely prepared and kind of put in the legwork on this app. I mean, you went from, what'd you say, 20,000 users to over 100,000 now?
Yeah, I think we're at 20,000 December of 2021.
Holy mackerel. So yeah, in 8 months?
Yeah, right now I want to say we're over 130,000.
Holy cow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You should make that magic happen on my Instagram.
Yeah, the coolest part though with that is that with our YouTube ads, which I'm sure everyone has seen because they're everywhere, all our focus used to be on gathering humans onto the app. And that was the main reason why people heard of Blown, was, oh, the YouTube ads. And not super recently, but yeah, recently that shift has been more so,
No pressure. You can get this.
Okay. Yeah.
It makes for good TV.
Blooper reel, maybe.
Yeah, I think that you guys aren't wrong. I mean, you guys are definitely on to something special, and I think that's apparent by how many people have flocked to the app, right? Where guys like me, guys like my guys, just regular average technicians who, you know, we may not call tech support on a regular basis, but every once in a while, man, we need that, right? We just need that extra mm-hmm. little, like, what am I missing here? And it's nice to not have to be on hold for 40 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your guys' wait time for the tech support side is average wait time of 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
That's stupid. I mean, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, you know? So it's like so ridiculous that how does an OEM say, holy shit, man, how are we supposed to compete with Blueon? Like, their tech support is it's coming, right? And how are we going to combat that? So I guess from a manufacturing standpoint, like, let's just use, you know, Carrier for example. Mm-hmm. They're probably like, at least we got rid of some of those calls, right? We don't have to field them anymore, right? But I know, like, on the Linux end, I mean, they probably only had 12 guys, 13 guys sitting in that little, you know, tech support. And I'm like, that's not that many guys for how big of a company you are, you know? And that number could be off, but I think I remember somebody telling me that there was only about 13 guys in there. And I just thought, man, for a huge company, that's not a lot of guys. But
yeah, and a lot of guys not being, you know, veteran techs in the field, it's really hard to give out advice and help when you don't really know what's going on. So,
a lot of them are, to be fair to them, a lot of them are. You know, I don't want to paint this picture like they're bad guys, but but they definitely have flowcharts, right? Like, based on whatever their equipment is, they're flow charting that thing out, and they get to a thing and they go, well, we can't move any further till we get this figured out. So, but I've definitely called into some tech support stuff and I'm like, you ever seen, what's that, Ron Johnson? Is it Ron Johnson? Where he's like, walks into Home Depot and he goes, hey, can I help you? And he goes, I know more than you. You ever, have you never seen that?
No.
That's sometimes when I call tech support, if I ever have to, that's exactly how I feel. I'm like, dude, why did I even call you? Like,
yeah. You know,
you may have given me a little nugget to remind me that I should have thought of this, and now I figured it out on my own. Thanks. Have a nice day. But yeah, it's yeah. interesting for sure. But no, I think you guys are onto something special, and I'd be curious to see, you know, how you pivot. But the app itself has just become so robust with, what'd you say, 300,000 manuals for different pieces of equipment in there. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, how much time does something like that take?
a ton. Our dev team works 24/7 on adding more equipment and making sure everything's in there. And also a cool thing. Sorry.
It's never really like a finished product, right? Like they're just continuously adding every day.
Every time we're on tech support and the tech mentions a unit that's not in there, we write it down and add it to the database. So it's a constant growth on the app and constant feedback. We're always getting feedback from people about our app in general and how we can make it better. So we operate on feedback a lot because really we're building the app for tech. So it wouldn't make sense to not listen to their feedback and act on it.
Right. No, you guys are just... You know what I love is, and I did this, it did that Instagram video about this whole thing, right? Where I love people who think outside the box. I love people who are trying to do something that has never been done before, because I just love proving people wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I love when I go to do something like, dude, that'll never work. And I'm the guy who's like, watch, I'm going to make it work because you told me that I'm going to make it work. So
this fuels your fire.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. So, no, we're the same way.
I love it. I love it. So, so your leadership, you got great culture in the company. Obviously you guys have been successful. So you have capital to do whatever you guys want to do. But I feel like, you know, just being all around just good people and, you know, first of all, you have a good product, right? And then you've kind of doubled that down with, hey, we have a lot of good people in our company. I feel like it's a combination that really can't lose.
Yeah, I agree. Our team is so incredible and so important. And we're also diverse. We have techs that are in their retirement age and also our marketing team who's in their 20s. And we all get to work together and learn from each other and really grow the company together with a bunch of different perspectives, which has been so critical, because if you have a team that's all the same generation and all the same knowledge, you can't really get anywhere. And a really important factor with our team has been the diversity of us, and we're always working together. We don't really have any offices in our office. I'm in one right now because of this podcast.
It's very Google-ish, right?
I guess so, yeah. Very open floor plan where we can go up to anyone and say, hey, is this meme funny? You know, just, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, Mike, a tech, can you explain to me the process on how a tech would do this or something? We're all willing to help each other out with our different perspectives. So it's really unique. And I think that's a big part of our growth, is being able to help each other out. One of our main mottos is that there is no hierarchy at Bluon. Everyone is able to help everyone out. I can go right up to Peter, our CEO, and be like, hey, I have this idea. And he'll just sit and listen, which is so cool. He cares so much about all of our ideas. And also the best idea wins. Hmm. So no matter what department you're in, say someone in sales has a great idea for a marketing campaign, they're able to speak up and say, hey, I think we should do this. I think it's going to benefit us greatly in these areas, then we're going to listen to it and act on it. So best idea wins across the board, no matter who you are.
Interesting. Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, you can tell that you've kind of soaked in that culture because you're only 22 years old. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're... You sound very grown up for being 22 years old.
I feel like I've grown up at Bull One because I started here when I was 19. This is my first job, so I'm super grateful to have this as my first job and be a part of the company as it's grown is wild.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So in this app now, you got your manuals, right? You got all the information on these pieces of equipment if you need to look them up. You have full parts lists for all these pieces of equipment. And now you guys have rolled out the ability to order those parts through the app at your local parts house. So who's on board with that as far as vendors go?
Great question.
I asked that because just the other day I was in Ferguson Supply, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw your guys' little setup with your little iPad thing, whatever that little display was. And I thought to myself, so you can order from the app into Ferguson. Obviously, Ferguson is on board. And so I made a comment to the guy at the counter. I said, you guys can order through the app now through Blue On. And he said, well, you can order through our online too. And I thought to myself,
interesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, well, how does that work if you guys are trying to push people to your own personal app, right? I'm just trying to think of from an entrepreneurial side, right? Like how were you able to convince Ferguson and Johnstone and all these people who already have online platforms that people shop from to adopt your platform?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I want to back up a little bit. Okay. So we used to call it order request through the app. But we heard from our own techs that order is kind of a scary word for techs, meaning that they're committing to that order right then. So we're calling it quote request now, meaning that they're not committing to anything when they select their parts. So it's a quote request that goes to the supplier. They can approve of it, and then it goes back to the tech to make that decision. So it's risk-free on the tech side. And then, going back to your question, how do we get suppliers to adopt this platform? It's been really interesting. So first of all, the supplier side is called Blue On Live, which is a desktop platform that we've designed for their end where they can see incoming orders from techs on the app. And it's really going to make everyone's lives easier, the tech and the supplier, because the supplier can see live incoming orders and from their own customers on the platform. And the coolest part is that they know that that's the exact part that the tech needs because they started at the model page, picked the exact part number, there's no confusion. And a huge part of it is Blue On Search, which is the counter person can go in, type in the part number, and also see cross-reference parts. So other parts that they may have in stock, they're not created by that brand per se, but another part that would work in that unit will come up on there. So it makes the counter staff's lives way easier, having that information at their fingertips and being able to fulfill orders and also increase their revenue, right? So if they have a part that can work in the unit that the tech needs, and they wouldn't know that otherwise, they've just made a sale on that. So that's a huge part of it.
So are you able to only order parts for the equipment, or can you also order supplies?
Yeah, you can also order truck stock. That's a big part of it too. So you can order parts for any unit you're working on and also truck stock. Or your truck, like wiring, any other stuff. I don't know the details on what truck stock really is, but anything that a tech needs in their truck is in there too.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious to know kind of the intricacies of how all that works, and I've never asked, so I just thought I would venture down that road.
Totally.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, I've personally haven't ordered any parts through the app yet. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm gonna, just to see how smooth it is, you know what I mean? And to see how easy it is on having my stuff kind of ready to go by the time that I get there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Try it out and let us know what you think. We're, like I said, we're open to feedback and we're still growing this app, figuring it out as we go. And we can only do that by hearing feedback from techs and suppliers on how we can do better.
Yeah. I've used the app plenty of times for manuals, but I just haven't ordered parts on it yet. So.
Yeah. It's getting really, really exciting. A lot more suppliers are getting on board. So techs will have more opportunities to order parts through more suppliers in the area.
Well, it used to be like, and I still have it, but I don't use it like I used to. But for all my guys, I had basically Dropbox folders set up, right, for every guy. And so you would go into your, like, back then I was a really heavy Linux guy. So you go to Linux, you'd click on the Linux tab, it would open up to another couple folders, and then it would say, what are you looking for? You're looking for furnaces, air handlers, heat pumps, condensers, and you click on that, and then all the model numbers are in there. You click on whatever model number you want, and then it pops up with, like, the install manual, the product specs, the submittal data, you know, all the details for those units. And it took me a long, and that was just for the stuff that I sold. You know what I mean? It took me a long time to deal with all that. And then when they do a revision, right? And then you got to go and you got to hook all that stuff back up again. And, or they come out with a new model and you got to, or they discontinue a model. And so I know the pain that it takes to try to work something like that. And I've been really, really impressed with the amount of data that you guys have into your app. It's truly incredible. So kudos to your development team for the legwork that they put in on that. Because holy shit, man, that's a lot of work.
Agreed. Yeah, I think in the beginning, us being naive really was the key because we had no idea what we were getting into. With how many models are out there and manuals for each one and wiring diagrams and parts, it's massive.
You gotta learn today.
I think if we knew what was coming, I don't know if we would have done it. So I'm very glad that we had no idea what was really in store until we got there, but powered through and yeah, totally worth it in the end.
That's awesome. So yeah. Atlanta, you guys gonna be at Expo, yeah?
Oh yeah.
You're gonna have a big booth in Atlanta?
I think so. We're already starting to plan it now. It's already coming up, which is scary how fast the year's gone by.
Are you guys gonna be bringing bottles of bourbon again?
I think so. I think the beer is a tradition now of our booth, is doing the free beer because why not?
Well, Matt gave me a bottle of bourbon that said Bluon on the bottle. Mm-hmm. It was a Woodford Reserve that said Bluon on the bottle. And
yeah, that was a special little.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Wouldn't mind getting a second round of that. That's for sure.
Good to know. I'll keep that in mind.
So Atlanta HVAC Tactical Awards. I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Okay.
You planning on being there? Planning on being there? Yes. Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. We're aiming to help out a lot this year because it's such a cool event. Seeing all the influencers there and getting to interact face to face, not just through the screen and not just through Instagram DMs. It's so special to see everyone in one room. So much creativity in a single room, which is so unique.
I was having some text conversations this morning with a potential sponsor, and he just kind of kept coming back with question after question after question. And he's like, you ever thought about having like a Zoom call with everybody who wants to be a potential sponsor to answer all these questions? And I'm like, not really. I mean, it's not a bad idea, right? But at the end of the day, like most of the sponsors who are sponsoring this event don't ask those questions. They see the writing on the wall and they want to be on the right side of history on this thing because we're doing what nobody's ever done before, right? We're creating the Emmys for HVAC for the end users in the trenches. Like it's never been done. And so I feel like a lot of these sponsors are just like, they want to give back to the people who have given them so much and they want to be a part of something that's really still in its infancy and is going to be massive. I mean, the wave that we made in Las Vegas was such a small show. And I say small, I mean, it was big, but it was small, right?
It was pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, 120 people or so. You know, so it really wasn't massive, but it wasn't, you know, like a backyard barbecue either, you know? So, but we made such a splash with that thing where it was the talk of Vegas for the, or talk of Expo for the next 3 days, you know, and everybody walking around with their backpacks. And
that was so cool.
even today, people are traveling in other countries and taking pictures with their backpacks in the background. Like, you know, it's just, I just think it's something that's really, really special that's happening right now and beyond what I kind of ever thought was going to be. But, yeah, I think it's going to be really special. So I was just kind of telling him, you know, it's cool that you want to ask all these questions. I don't really have a lot of answers for you. I'll have to go kind of dig that information up. But, yeah, a lot of these sponsors are just that, man, they just want to be part of something that's just going to be huge for the industry, you know? So,
yeah, when Matt and I were there in January, we just said, yeah, we got to be a part of this more. This is so impactful and exciting for everyone. So
well, it was a good time. And we were glad that you were there for sure.
Yeah. For super sure. Grateful to be in there with everyone.
So do you
and
have
everyone?
Do you have, wait just a second. My phone was ringing. Do you have, the little booth that you're in? Do you have somebody in there with you?
Right now? No.
Oh,
I saw people walking by.
Oh, I saw you keep looking to the side. I thought you were talking.
That's okay.
It's all good.
People didn't realize I'm borrowing Drew's office. They think I'm Drew and almost walk in, and then they see it's me and don't walk in.
So something I find really interesting being in your guys' corporate office is you have these little sound booths almost. And I mean, they're cool, yep. Right? They're not super spacious, but if it's just one person in there with a laptop, how much space do you really need, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
We got this because, again, we don't have any offices in here, and we take calls and have meetings. So we got these pods, we call them, that are soundproof little mini offices that are utilized all day for focus time and calls because, again, our office is so open that sometimes you just need to shut down and go in a pod and really focus because people walking by all the time, hey, look at this, oh, sure. How was your weekend, blah, 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 which is awesome. But sometimes you just need to buckle down and get it done. So that's what those are for.
And anybody listening is probably thinking the same thing that I thought when I looked at these little pods. And my first thing was like, well, how do you get ventilation in this thing? Right. And there's little fans in there that circulate the air from in the air conditioned building through the little pod and then back out again. So you're constantly getting fresh, cool air in that little pod. But yeah, it was one of my first questions. It's the curse of being an HVAC guy.
So. Yeah, we've thought through everything pretty much.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ben with HVAC Tactical. If you're looking for some gear to represent what you do so passionately for a living, then check us out at HVACtactical.com. That's HVACtactical.com. And be sure to hit us up on Instagram and tag us in all your photos. Back to the show.
Speaking of marketing, you had that little video. It almost looked like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air kind of intro. And and then it showed your tech support team with the little Speedos on. And
No. Yeah, the infomercial.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
That was awesome.
What a video.
I loved it.
So funny. It's kind of hard to watch sometimes. But, yeah, I had that idea almost a year ago. Hey, let's make an infomercial about our forum, which is another part of the app. Just talking through how much easier it is to use the Blown app than previous, like Reddit, etc. So Pete said, yeah, good idea. Let's hold off and bring that to life when we have more in our app. So once parts came in there, said, all right, we're ready. Let's do it. Partnered with our video team up in LA and wrote up a script, put it all together. The funniest thing is those people in that commercial are our own technicians. They're great actors. For example, Dan on tech support, we asked him to do that scene, and he looks like a real actor, which is so cool. they all did so well. So yeah, we do a lot of really, really fun video projects that are definitely out of the box.
The wink was the best. The whole,
Brian. You know,
that was awesome.
Oh.
And then there was the on-call, I'm not the on-call, but the on-hold, right? The guy sitting on the rooftop, your wait time is 2 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, we try to emphasize all of the pain points in the industry and how everyone is solving them. And through marketing, through my experience, really learning everything on the job, learning to relate to an audience that's so different than myself. And the main thing that I realized is that techs really respond to one of two things, humor or useful stuff. And so I took that and ran with it. So a lot of our messaging through texting, email, et cetera, is usually really, really useful, whether that's a tip or something new in the app that's going to really help them out, or something just absolutely hysterical, like the infomercial.
Right.
And to take that a step further, we sent that out on 4th of July at 12 noon, which was Amani's idea. We have a really, really smart individual named Amani on our team. And she thought, hey, let's just go the total opposite direction and send the infomercial out on a holiday, 4th of July, right when people are starting to crack their first beer of the holiday. Because it's a hilarious video, and we thought, hey, let's just let them watch it with their friends and have a good time.
You're trying to get people to spit beer? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah. The text message with the video is warning, this video might make you piss your pants. And that was
hilarious.
It.
That's funny.
No sales language, anything. It's just plopping it in their inbox and letting them watch it.
Yeah, I love, too, how you guys have just kept it. You've kept the culture real and raw, you know, like you're not being disrespectful. And you're not being crude, if you will. Right. But there's just like a rawness to it where it's just kind of like, I dig that, man. It's just real and honest, you know, and there's just something to be said for that.
Yeah. So. Nobody really likes salesy information anyway. They're not going to listen to it. So why would we do that in our own marketing? We know what works, and we know that these guys are genuine, salty-eared people, and why not bring in humor and actually have them like what they're seeing rather than, hey, new feature, this is going to help you out. Why not make it funny?
Right.
It makes it so much better and makes everyone laugh, which is,
I feel like, laughter,
just a bonus.
Laughter is like the universal language. You know, like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what language you speak, like when you're laughing, you're all in the same frequency. You're all in the same vibe. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But laughter is also weird because you can laugh at somebody for hurting themselves, right? You can laugh at somebody for telling a funny joke. Like, you can laugh at a lot of different things for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we have to be mindful of that in our audiences and make sure that it is funny to text, because myself and Maddie and Amani are the ones writing all of this content every week. And we had no information on what HVAC was 3 years ago or what texts were like. So we rely on our 30 tech support techs to check our marketing, check our memes. I frequently just send text memes and say, hey, is this funny? How can I make this better? Just to make sure that we're constantly relating back to our audience, because that can get forgotten when the people writing the content aren't tech. We can't relate to what it's like being a tech or what the day is like.
And you guys are so young, right? Like, that plays a role in it too. So the fact that you guys can create this stuff at such a young age is pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, I'm learning crazy amounts here. Every week I have a new skill, which is so cool. I'm so grateful that Peter and Danica really let me run with this role and learn, and they're super patient with me on this whole journey. So yeah, really, really cool that I'm able to run with marketing and just try things out and have fun with it and learn a ton every day.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So what's next for Blue On?
Yeah. Great question.
What is it next? That should be the question, right? What is it next? What aren't we doing?
There's so much happening. Right now, we're really focusing on order requests. So getting suppliers in the game, getting everyone on board, getting tech to just try putting in a quote request to realize how easy it is. That's the main thing right now. Future, adding on to that, we're going to build out the forum a lot better. So I'm sure you're familiar a little bit with the forum and the app. We're going to make it a lot more visually oriented. So kind of more like a general social media app. And it's going to be easier to navigate, easier to search things, whether you want to see funny memes or actually help text and answer questions. Actually got a demo on this today by Adam, our software guru, on what it's going to look like. And it's just going to blow you away. It's going to be so much easier. It's just so cool. That's the next thing, along with many others, constantly adding to the app, just nonstop.
I love it. Well, is there anything that you'd like to finish off? We're on the air for almost an hour now. Is there anything that you want to share last thing before we kind of exit out of here?
Probably just that encouraging tech to try it out, the order request through the app, update your app, get your suppliers on board if they're not already, and give us feedback on what we're doing. Always super open to it. Try it out.
I think that's huge. That's huge that you're willing to take the positive criticism and make adjustments, right? Like, hey, this guy says the app's clunky or it's hard to use or he doesn't like this feature in it or it doesn't make sense where it's at. Whatever the case may be, the fact that you guys are willing to listen to that and take that into consideration says a lot about who you guys are for sure. So I say guys, but I know you guys like to say humans. So it says a lot about where you humans are.
Humans. We get a lot of confusion, like humans. I don't, it's just a Boolean thing. Yeah.
You guys have aliens working there too, or?
Honestly, yes, we do. We have quite a few aliens. Definitely not from Earth. How smart these individuals are is not possible if they're from Earth.
That's funny.
A lot of aliens going on.
That's funny.
Yeah, feedback is what we run on. We pivot so fast too. We'll have an idea, like the order request thing, realizing, oh shoot, that's not what we're going for. We change that within 2 weeks. All of our language is fixed because we can pivot that quickly with our team. Feedback is massive. That's what we run off of because we're building the platform for these individuals. So why wouldn't we make tweaks to make their lives easier and our app more applicable to them? So yeah, really important.
So there you guys heard it, or there you humans heard it. Go try the app. You got nothing to lose. Signing up is free. The app doesn't cost you anything. Tech support doesn't cost you anything. Even ordering parts through the app doesn't cost you anything. So you're at zero loss. There's literally no reason you wouldn't try it, right?
Yeah. So. And we don't sell data. We don't do any of that sketchy stuff. So super transparent company just wanting to help the tech out. That's really all that we're about.
Yeah. And they're a sponsor of the Tactical Awards, which means that they're legit. They're super legit.
Yeah. Super excited to be there with you this next year. It's going to be a blast. Yeah.
Likewise. Well, Jess, thank you so much for coming on and kind of just sharing your thoughts with us and kind of letting us dive into Bluon and who Bluon is and where they've been and where they're going. And I'm really excited to see kind of what the future holds for this. And I'm really excited to see how the industry grabs this and runs with this because, yes, you have 100,000+ people on the app, but it's still, people still don't know. You know what I mean? And it just goes to show you how many people are in the trenches in our industry.
Yeah, and we're here to help them out every day, all day. So
awesome.
It's so cool. Thank you so much for having me on here and letting us share a bit more about Bluon and what we're doing, and really, really pumped about being there at AHR with you this next year. It's going to be really, really cool.
Sweet. Well, thanks for coming on. We will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We'll see you. Bye.
Make a decision to be the best. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Your work reflects you, so protect your reputation. Don't ever give up. HVAC. Tactical. It's a mindset.